Yes, people, welcome back to Cricket Talks. This is episode 22, I think it is, and it's also part 2 of the 6-part PSL preview series, where I talk through all the PSL sides coming up to the PSL, and the plan was to release one episode every day leading up to the PSL, starting from the 14th, since there's 6 teams, so 6 teams, 6 episodes across 6 days, right until the PSL starts on the 20th. So it's the 13th right now, I'm recording this on the 15th, this should be out, and we're going to be talking through Multan Sultan. So if you're a Multan Sultan's fan, definitely one of the sides that brings in some of the biggest names in world cricket by far. If you're a Multan Sultan's fan or you're just a PSL fan, make sure you watch throughout this episode so you get my opinion on every single player. That's the plan, to talk through every single player that Pakistan or Multan has picked post-draft, giving you my opinions as someone who's watched the PSL a lot. I think I can give good, decent opinions, not that they wanted, but decent opinions on how each team or how each player performs for a particular team, whether they've been traded and so on. So if you're listening on audio, please follow, rate, review. The goal is to be in the top 100 for as many nations as I can by the end of the year. We're currently ranked in Norway and New Zealand. I think New Zealand are ranked 25th, so thank you for all your support, New Zealand listeners. But if you're watching on YouTube as well, like, comment, subscribe. And yeah, I'd appreciate streams, man. Even if you're not listening, just put it on the side, play it and leave it on the side. I appreciate all your support, man. And there's no monetary things I'm asking for. There's no Patreon or nothing. I was thinking about starting a Patreon, had an account ready, but I thought there's really no point in charging you guys. So your support, all I want you to do, if you support the podcast, if you feel like you love the podcast, then all I want you to do is just stream other episodes, listen to it or not listen to it, I don't mind, but just stream them and help me get those rankings, especially if you're on countries like England, Australia, India, New Zealand. Maybe try and bump me up to the top 15. But yeah, I appreciate all your support. If you're listening on YouTube, you're watching my face, there will be a visual overlay so you guys can see the little players. And yeah, like, comment, subscribe. We're almost at 100 subscribers, and I appreciate all your support here as well, man. So let's get straight into it. Now, the first player is Shahid Afridi, a legend of the game, 40 years old now. I don't know how he's still playing, but yeah, very, very good player. All-rounder, leg spin, batsman, lorder. In terms of recent performances, I think he was part of the Qalandars in the T10, and it was an average sort of season for him, to be honest. I didn't watch him at the T10. If you see me commenting on the T10, I'm really just talking from a few stats I've seen. But yeah, it wasn't a crazy T10 for him. He more so bowled than anything. But yeah, Shahid Afridi, we all know what he offers. I think in the PSL, again, we're probably going to see him bowl more than anything, and in batting in the middle order, I'd probably get a couple of overs to bat by the time he does come in. So yeah, Shahid Afridi, if I'm being very honest, if I was a Lahore fan and I had Shahid Afridi, I wouldn't be massively happy, because I think he's still ranked pretty high in terms of his acquisition. I think he might still actually be a platinum player, which is crazy. And with the amount of players available in the draft, I don't necessarily think Shahid Afridi is the most smart decision. Multan fans, if you agree, disagree, then let me know. But yeah, that's just my thoughts on Shahid Afridi. Now, the next player for Multan is Riley Rousseau, a South African sort of T20 veteran at this point. He's one of those players from South Africa that really just play a lot of franchise cricket right now, and he's still very valuable. I think he was actually picked up by Melbourne Renegades in the Big Bash this season. Melbourne, again, don't think I had a particularly good season, but I do remember him getting a 59 against Hobart. That being said, he has performed. I don't really have the stats to say that, but generally in the PSL he hasn't been too bad. He's been at Multan for a couple of seasons now, I think since they've actually started he's been with them, and at number 4, number 5, he is very, very much a handy player. So Riley Rousseau is that player. Now, the next player for Multan is Sahil Tanveer, left arm, awkward action, opening bowler. He's great with the new ball, 36 years old now, didn't have too bad of a T10, and yeah, it's amazing to think he's still managing to bowl at that pace. I don't think he has really slowed down, I think he's still managing to bowl in the 80s. But yeah, still a very much a valuable player. I wouldn't be too sad if he was playing for Lahore. And I just checked up with Shahid Afridi for the previous one. He is a retained player. There is no current value whether he's a platinum or not. But yeah, Sahil Tanveer, a very much a valuable player. He's great with the new ball and at the death. I think he has a crazy record at the CPL. But yeah, a very, very much valuable player for Multan. Now, the next player for Multan Sultans is Imran Tahir, a legendary leg spinner. I still actually think he might be one of the best world spinners in the world, despite his age. I think he's 40 years old now, and he's probably still, in my eyes, competing with the likes of Adam Zampa, Rashid Khan, Adil Rashid. I still think he's very much competitive within those guys, as in the ability to turn it both ways and still produce that flight, that turn at 40 years old consistently is nothing short of amazing, man. So yeah, Muldan Sabdans have got a real gem in their hands. He's been with Muldan for a while now, and yeah, I don't really see his performances dipping. I don't see Muldan getting rid of him for another few seasons. I'm sure Imran Dar will be more than happy to play for them for a couple of more seasons. So yeah, very, very dangerous player. He has actually performed pretty well. Again, I don't have the stats, but he's generally been pretty good in the PSL. I don't really remember him having any too many bad seasons whilst he has been in there. And I think he's only actually been with Muldan. So yeah, Imran Dar, legendary spinner. Now, the next player for Muldan is someone who I should pick today, in the middle order, Hushtul Shah. I do have some stats now, so I can finally give some stats on runs and wickets. But he had about 220 runs last season for Muldan, 10 innings, a high score of 70, averaging 37, I think a strike rate of about 140. But yeah, he's generally performed very well in the PSL, to be honest. Not the same for Pakistan, but I'm not going to delve too deep into that. By the time you've seen this, hopefully the T20 summary episode will have been out the day before, live streamed on YouTube with Aaron, and it's available in podcast episodes, so you guys can see for yourself how I feel about Hushtul Shah at this very moment. But yeah, as a Lahore fan, I'm not too startled, to be honest with him. But that being said, I think at the top order he hasn't been too bad for Pakistan. So it's a Hushtul Shah is a bit of a tricky one. The stats speak for themselves. He hasn't been too bad, to be honest. And in fairness, talking through these Muldan fans at these Muldan players, Muldan did finish making it to the playoffs last season. I think Lahore, we beat them, and we had to beat Peshawar as well. I think we had to beat Muldan second, but yeah, Muldan made the playoffs last season. I'm sure they were looking at the side again, but yeah, that's Hushtul Shah. Now the next player is James Vince, and still underrated in my opinion. I think he's one of those players who still plays classical shots, proper cricket shots, in T20 cricket, but it's still outperforming some of the best who, you know, are adapting to the shots more than others. I think he still very much keeps that proper cricket stance, and but still creates the ability to score all around the pitch. I think last season, 5 innings, I think 60 high score, 166 strike rate, with a 38 average. He was performing pretty well in the PSL last season, and if you count it as current form, he did just win the BBL with Sydney Sixers. I think he scored 99 or 98 last one of the innings as well, because I still remember that was on the news when Andrew Tai bowled a wide and he couldn't get his 100. So yeah, James Vince, a very, very sick, underrated player in my opinion. Top of the order, I think he's going to be dangerous. As a Lahore fan, I'll be very honest, I'm not looking forward to playing Muldan. When we've got someone like him at the top order, there's always a lot of work to do. And with the next few players I'm going to announce, who one of them actually left Lahore, yeah, I can just put it this way, I'm not, as a Lahore fan, I'll be very honest, I am a little bit scared of Muldan. I think they're one of the big teams that we're going to have to very, very much fight hard. Not that we won't be competitive, but Muldan is definitely going to be one of the strongest teams in the PSL next season, and James Vince is really just adding to that. Now the next player is Shaan Masood, the top order left-handed batsman. 10 innings last season for the PSL, 280 odd runs, 28 average, I think about 130 strike rate. He's a bit of a weird one, you know. People look at Shaan Masood as a specialist test player, and you know, that makes sense. He only plays for test cricket and for Pakistan. That being said, he didn't actually perform too badly in the PSL. He can be aggressive when he needs to. That being said, there's another player who I'm yet to mention, and Shaan Masood is someone we can expect in the regular team, probably opening the batting, and then who was the other player? The next player I'm going to announce, or James Vince batting three. But yeah, Muldan's top order is looking very, very strong. Like I said, a team that has a lot of big names, and Shaan Masood is just really adding to that. He didn't have a bad last season, and in Pakistan, which is where he normally has quite good numbers. So yeah. Now the next player for Muldan is the final one of the retained picks. over the retained players, which is Usman Khadr. You guys don't need to give me, you don't need to know the intro on Usman Khadr, one of the best leg spinners Pakistan has to offer right now. Yes, he can turn it a mile, even in dewy conditions. We saw that in the second T20, as you saw. But yeah, had a quiet PSO. I couldn't really see his name too often. But yeah, if we're looking at current form, the guy is in very, very good nick. I can, again, as a Lahore fan, I'm not looking forward to him. If I was a Lahore fan, I'd happily take him in. He's one of the best specialist leg spinners available in the PSL right now. I think he's probably, other leg spinners to compete with, probably Imran Tahir and Fawad Ahmed, potentially Yasir Shah and Peshawar Zalmi. That being said, Yasir is not necessarily the best T20 bowler around in for Pakistan. But yeah, man, Usman Khadr, very, very dangerous leg spinner. And Multan Sultans have retained him. And yeah, I'm happy. They should be happy they have, man, because I think he's going to do a lot of damage next season. I think these few T20s that he has is definitely going to help him get into the regular side and compete with maybe, you know, Shahid Afridi for his overs. Now, Multan Sultan's first platinum pick, someone they took from us, I was gutted when I heard this news. You could probably guess as a Lahore fan who that player is, which is Chris Lynn. One of the most destructive players around in international cricket, to be honest. He doesn't play for Australia, to be honest. I haven't really researched the reason, but I think it's something to do with him wanting to be a specialist franchise player. But yeah, his numbers speak for himself. I think he was the fifth leading run scorer in the T20 in the PSL season last season. High score of 113 not out, 40 average, 180 odd strike rate. Those numbers just speak for themselves. You don't even need to describe the player, you just take those numbers in. That 113, I'm pretty sure, was against Multan themselves, so it makes a lot of sense. He found him out, and they probably don't want that next season. But yeah, very, very destructive player. Very easily, if he's fit, gonna make the regular team, opening the batting alongside, you know, Shahid Masood or James Vince, just working around those three. But yeah, Multan Sultans, I think the team has gone a hell of a lot dangerous. You know, even without Chris Lynn, I would say that team is extremely competitive for the title again this season. They made the playoffs with him. I'm very, very sure that it's going to be a very interesting set of games, two games, against Lahore and alongside the rest of the PSL group. So yeah, Chris Lynn, what an amazing player, man. The next player is actually gone straight to silver. There was no gold, or what was the other brand, diamond picks from Multan Sultans. They've gone straight to silver, which is Sahil Khan is the first player, a veteran seamer. If we're looking at the squad now, I could probably see him very much making the regular team. There aren't too many seamers in that squad, to be honest, pairing up with the likes of Sahil Tanveer. And I can't really see any other seamers, to be honest. There is Imran Khan Senior, who I think is a seamer, and Carlos Brathwaite, but they're supplementary, and again, I'm pretty sure they're subs. So, yeah, man, Sahil Khan, I can expect him to be in there. I'm not really sure what his recent T10 performances are, if he did play in the T10, or his recent performances. I do know he was part of the T20 squad going to New Zealand, but he didn't get a game in. He wasn't part of the squad for the South Africa series. So it's going to be interesting. I don't necessarily think he's going to be a massive threat. That being said, I'm not exactly sure about him. So based on recent form, he's been pretty good in domestic cricket, but I think it's just, for me personally, a bit of a weird one. I don't necessarily think he's going to be a massive threat for us. But yeah, that's Sahil Khan. Now the next player in the silver category is extremely, extremely interesting. And that player is Mohammad Rizwan in the silver category. Now the reason I say this is interesting is because recent form speaks for itself. 89 against New Zealand, 100 in the first T20 against South Africa, and 51 in the second, which is just yesterday. And by the time this comes out, we would have seen where he got in the third T20. But even if he gets 20, I think next season he's gonna bump up a few categories. But yes, Mohammad Rizwan, what a player. I think Karachi Kings were the team that got rid of him, and I'm pretty sure it's because they already have a few keepers, and I think they're going to keep Chadwick Walton, who is in the gold group. But I think they're probably regretting it now. They probably have to own up to it, but we can probably see him playing in the regular side. That being said, I'm pretty sure Zeeshan Ashraf, if he is still with them, no, he's not. He's with Lahore. I forgot about him, but yeah, they got rid of Zeeshan Ashraf, who was a keeper batsman for Multan, and they've now got Mohammad Rizwan. I think Karachi are going to live to regret that. He's an extremely good player, man. Even against the best leg spinners, yeah, he was facing Tabriz. While I'm recording this, is the day that he faced Tabriz in the second T20. He was just working it around. He just knew what he was doing, and in the first T20, as soon as a batsman goes offline or off length, just a hint, he'd capitalize. He'd be more than happy. And his power hitting skills have developed so much recently. He's so much more braver, courageous to go for those bigger shots, and a lot of the time it's worked out pretty well. He's middled it a lot of the time, and I think in the second T20, watching it today, I'm pretty sure he lost his wicket to a slower ball, and that was because he would open the batting, and he was there till about the 12th, 13th over. And Pakistan had barely any runs, and that's when he had to carry on. Otherwise, we could probably assume if Pakistan were in a bit of a better position, if the other players stood up a bit, he probably would have made more than 51, because he wouldn't have been put in a position where he was having to go all out on deliveries that he wasn't particularly comfortable with going all out on. So yeah, Mohammad Rizwan, an underrated player in this PSL category. He's not a silver. He'd probably be a gold by next season at minimum. But yeah, Multan Sultans, like I said, the team just gets more dangerous by every name I keep mentioning. You know, we look at their batting order. I'm not as concerned about their bowling, but their batting is just so strong. Riley Rousseau, Hushdul Shah, James Vince, Shaan Masood, Chris Lynn, and Mohammad Rizwan. And that is two with one more player, or two actually, in the silver, who are, I think, very underrated in the PSL. One of them's performed generally pretty well across the PSL seasons since it started. So yeah, that's Mohammad Rizwan. Now the next player is Saheem Maqsood, a top middle order veteran for Pakistan. He has been a long time since he's played for Pakistan. Probably 2016 was the last time I saw him in the green top, but he is a very sick player. Looking at the squad, I think it's going to be pretty hard for him to make the regular side. They've got so many top order batsmen, that either Multan will have to go deep into their batting with a lot of specialist batsmen, and you know, jeopardize some of their bowling attack, or they just work on their bowling and keep it even as it should be. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all played out. That being said, Saheem is a decent player. I think as a silver player, where he ranks up, if I look at the squads across, he doesn't rank too badly. If we're ranking all the players in the silver category, he definitely beats some of Lahore's players. He definitely beats Kuwait's players. I think he beats some of the Peshawar players, and Karachi, in my opinion, are probably Islamabad he's competing the most with. So Saheem Maqsood, a very good player to be in the silver category, and despite probably not seeing him in the regular season, we might see him in the top order a few times if there's injuries and that sort of stuff, but yeah, I wouldn't expect to see him too many times. Now the next player, I've actually missed out Saheeb Allah. I literally have zero information on him. I just searched him up. I can't really find nothing on him. He's literally played a few games, so I won't speak on him, just because I don't know enough. But whether he makes a side or not, we'll see. But the next player after that is Adam Lyth. Now Adam Lyth only played 2 seasons for Multan. I'm pretty sure that was his first season in the PSO as well. And I was afraid, I'll be honest, I was afraid for him to be in that side, because I've seen him at Yorkshire, and he is a destructive opening batsman for the White Roses. He had 2 innings last season, 59 runs in total, 9-150 in the other. But he's a very sick opener, and it's going to be interesting to see how he plays out, whether he plays a sub for the majority of the tournament. Like I said, Multan have a ton of top order batsmen. They have Saheem Maqsood, Adam Lyth and himself, Chris Lynn, James Vince, Shaan Masood, Hushdul Shah. There's a lot of batsmen there, so it's going to be good to see how that all plays out. But yeah, Adam Lyth, I think, is still a very sick player. If I was in Lahore, I'd take him in as a top order batsman. But yeah, man, that's Adam Lyth. So that is Multan Sultans. I'm going to leave out the supplementary players. Like I said in the previous episode, or if I didn't, I'm sorry, but I'm going to leave out the supplementary players just for now, just because Well, I might mention them in other episodes, we'll see how it goes, just because there's really no point mentioning them and extending the episode longer than it needs to be. So, Multan Sultan fans, if you are listening at this point, if you're listening on YouTube, go and comment down below. Let me know what you think of your team. How competitive do you think your team is? Looking at this side, I don't necessarily think there's a great amount of balance between their batting and bowling attack. I think the batting's a lot longer than the bowling options. I don't really see too many seamers from you guys. I see two there at most, and then you have your spinners, Imran and Usman Khadr. No really specialist off spinners, or left arm ones, to be honest. So that, again, that's going to be interesting. I see three leg spinners there, sorry, Shahid Afridi included. So yeah, Multan Sultan fans or PSL fans in general, let me know what you think of your side. Who do you think the best or the leading run scorer for your side is going to be? I'm pretty sure last season it might have been Shaan Masood. So yeah, let me know. Let me know what you think of your side. Who do you think the leading wicket taker is going to be? And what do you see your playing 11 is going to be? Comment those all down below. PSL fans as well, get involved. Let me know what you think. If you're listening on audio and you still want to let me know what you think of the team, then just go onto YouTube and do the same. Just listen up and wait till the end, and then go onto YouTube and let me know your thoughts. But this has been the Multan Sultan's preview episode. I hope you enjoyed it. It's part 2 of 6. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, you're listening on the day it's been dropped, so 4 days from now on, the next four days, I'll be releasing an episode on each team. I think Lahore Qalandars is straight after this. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed this. Check out my Pakistan South Africa series summary that is hopefully out by the time you see this. Check out my other episodes. Like I said, I have a goal to be in the top 100 as many countries as I can ranked. I'm currently 25th in Norway. Sorry, I'm currently 25th in New Zealand. I don't know where I rank in Norway, actually. I need to check. But yeah, I appreciate all your support. If you want to support me, there's no payment involved. I don't think I'm at the point where I should be demanding payment for my content. But yeah, the best way you can support me, and by helping me grow and get better content, first of all, like a better camera, you can see is barely 720p, is by streaming my stuff, because then that can help me bring in sponsors. I've got some sponsor stuff that is probably going to be coming out in the next few months, some partnerships. So if you want to help me get more sponsorships, get, you know, good content in, better cameras, that sort of thing, all I ask you to do is just stream my stuff, because that's going to bring in more streams. It'll be bringing in more revenue on YouTube once I'm able to hit monetization, hopefully bring in sponsorships and help me reach that goal ultimately, which is the biggest goal I have. It's not to get sponsorships, but just to be ranked in the top 100 in as many countries as I can. Saudi listeners, Indian listeners, Australian listeners, New Zealand listeners, I know you're already there, and England one, which is probably one of the hardest ones to break through just because of how many broadcasters there. I'm independent, I'm not working with a company, so if the best way you can support me, again, is by just streaming my stuff, that just mean the world, whether you listen or not. I don't mind. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I've been Mohammed, and yeah, just check out my socials, Cricket Talks Pod on Instagram, MelBlogs_ my personal on Twitter. I talk a lot in there on match days for Pakistan. So yeah, check out my stuff, and I'll see you guys on the next episode.